Okay, this is Monday, April 9th, and the topic this month is Ego, the Small Self.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of that. And when we say the word life, we mean that life that is through everybody. That one life that's through the whole universe. You can call it God if you want. You can call it anything you want. But life is always pressing. This thing called life, this thing called God, is always pressing to come onto this plane of action. If you do not scrub your sink for a couple days, life will appear in the sink as mold because you gave it an opportunity to appear. And that's what we're always trying to do, is give life an opportunity to appear. So what we are trying to teach, when I was months ago, when I used to say you're gods and goddesses, that's the whole idea, that you are gods and goddesses. And you've all heard the expression, made in the image and likeness of God. That's inwardly you're made in the image and likeness of God. God does not look like human beings, because God is not a human being. God is a life, it's an intelligence, it's a wisdom, but it is not human, nor does it have any of the human qualities that we think God has. God does not have human qualities. We have God qualities, and we have human qualities. What we're always trying to do is raise our consciousness to the God qualities so that we express life differently. The topic this month is the ego, or the small self, and the ego is an expression. It's a human expression. God does not have an ego. If God had an ego, there would be chaos constantly. You see, God, it's incapable for God to get angry. God doesn't get angry. That he doesn't have that, or it doesn't have that quality. We have those qualities. And many religions, and I was launching a lot of religious things over the Easter holiday, enough to drive you crazy. There's one program, and I don't know who the woman is, honest to God, she must have 9 or 10 wigs on her head. Her hair is up like that. She was asking everyone to come to some theme park, Holy Land theme park or something, where you would have a revelation there, I guess. I don't know what would the rides be, I wonder, at a Holy Land thing, you know. And then I watch, of course, the Catholic Church, who knows how to do things much better than anybody else when it comes to pomp and circumstance, and when it comes to the sheer nonsense of it. And the people crowded. I watched the Pope giving communion and so forth, and all those people completely buying into all that. I'm not putting that down. That is quite all right. But you have to realize that if you're doing that, it's conditioned. You are a puppet of your conditioning. That's what they want you to be, a puppet. They don't want you to learn anything. They want you to say, this is the way they tell you, you see. They tell you what to think. This teaching does not tell you what to think. It teaches you how to think, and how to think for yourself, and how to find that divinity within you. And with this thing called the ego, we're constantly living from our ego. We miss all of life if we're living from our ego, because the ego is a very small concept of how to live life, you see. It will not work with your little ego. Ego always needs food of some sort to keep its identity. So it's always going to keep you in some kind of turmoil so that it can fight and so that it can make you right. Every time it makes you right, that's called food for the ego. And that boosts the ego. So The people who know Course in Miracles and Course in Miracles, they always say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And that's the choices that you have in life. So the choice is always to be happy. And the choice is to give up that ego mind as much as possible. At least become aware that you have an ego and learn to control that ego. Only through controlling your thinking are you going to be able to control your life. If you allow your ego to pull you around by the nose, you're not living your life. So the question always is, who or what is running your life? Are you running it, or is somebody else running your life? Or is it the ego running your life? The ego loves to run your life. It loves to tell you what life is all about, what people are all about. It has all kinds, and it always comes to some absolute ridiculous conclusion. But it always makes you right, because you have to be right. You have to feel good about yourself. You see, you can feel good about yourself without the ego. Let's say that the ego is down here, and what we're talking about is up here. We have to move up in consciousness. We have to move up in consciousness. Most people do not know that they are more than their ego. Most people do not know that they're more than their thinking. See, you have to know that you're more than those things, and that higher consciousness is there, and you can use that higher consciousness. Last week we said that we are not our mind. I'm constantly teaching people that. I constantly have to remind my own self, I am not my mind. We are not our minds. Our minds are ours to use. So last week we went around and we said, I'm not my mind. This week, let's read that and go around.
My mind is mine to use.
My mind is mine to use.
My mind is mine to use.
My mind is mine.
My mind is mine to use.
My mind is mine to use.
My mind is mine to use.
And my mind is mine to use. We have to remember that our mind, we have a mind that we can use instead of allowing the mind to use us. When the mind uses us, that's the ego coming. We have to be able to control that. We have to be able to see the difference in our thinking and how we can move up to a different realm of thinking. Okay, with that said, let me back up here a moment. We also said last week that the whole idea of this a holiday that the world celebrates called Easter is the idea that the tomb is empty. That means that resurrection has happened. It doesn't mean that this man called Jesus is going to come back. I just saw that on a car. Jesus is coming back. I thought, well, it's taking him quite a while to get here. You know, this is entirely too long. If he was going to come back, he'd be back by now. But the idea of the empty tomb is your mind. We put ourselves in the tomb. We must get ourselves out of that tomb by letting go of all those opinions, those viewpoints, and those concepts that we hold that we think are real. That's the ego mind that puts you there and keeps you there. Because the mind, that ego mind, has to have the answer. It has to have the answer. You do not know the answer. We do not know the answer. When I tell you these little things about what I think of as God, that's just a small portion, and we only know a small portion of that. And on this plane of action, we have all these specialists and so forth. You must remember that anyone who tells you they're an authority, they only know 1% of the subject. They only know 1% of the subject. And we think, they at least know 99%. No, they only know doctors, lawyers, myself, I only know 1% of anything, because it's so vast. This whole thing is so vast. But we can learn, even with the 1%, We can learn to think differently and think differently about ourselves. The ego mind is the one that keeps everyone suffering all the time. It will always keep you suffering. Because it has to be right. It has to figure things out. And you, some things you just cannot figure out. And there's no need to figure out most things. What's going on in the world out there? Who's going to figure any of that stuff out? You know, we think we figured all that out. No one knows what's going on. And these economists, I love the economists. They have not one iota of what's going on. They make the whole damn thing up. You see. So don't do that to yourself, and don't let your mind do that to you. Anytime you're in fear, you're using the ego mind. You see? You cannot make this statement, all there is God, and then have fear of any type. You just can't do it. But yet the ego mind tells you, oh, be fearful. Be fearful of that. The ego mind always wants to keep you separated. Keep you separated from your divinity. Or keep you separated from this thing that we call God or this thing that we call life. Always wants to keep you. The ego mind wants to everyone to be separate so that there's you and me. If there's you and me, we can have comparisons going on. When we have any time you're comparing, you're in your ego mind. You're comparing. You can't compare. You can't compare anything. And you can't certainly can't compare people. That person's better than this person. That person's better looking. Or this, that, or the other thing. You cannot do that. Because we are all unique. You see, there's only ever one of us. And there'll only be ever one of us. No one has been like you before. No one will be like you again. You're the rarest of the rare. So you cannot compare. And when we start to compare, it's the ego mind. It's the ego mind. You have to say, I'm just absolutely perfect the way I am. And we are absolutely perfect just the way we are. The world wants to tell you, no, you have to dress differently. You have to look differently. You have to weigh a certain amount. You have to wear red lipstick and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's all right to do that, but don't make it you. Don't make that stuff you. This concept of mind, it's always going to be mind. That's what we're teaching here. This is called science of the mind or religious science. It's learning to see what's going on in your thinking and to be able to control your thinking, to be able to give up the past in your life. People think that what happened to them in the past is going to happen to them in the future. Only if you drag it with you. Only if you drag it with you. Don't drag the past around with you. Let it go. There's nothing you can do about it whatsoever. This thing that we call God certainly does not do that. God's always in the now, always living in the now, and always making all things new. All things new. Otherwise, we wouldn't get anywhere. But the ego mind wants to tell you how important it is. Wants to tell you how important your thinking is. You see. Oh, it loves to tell you how intelligent you are. You know, now there's nothing wrong with intelligence. Wisdom's better, you know, than intelligence. But if you think that you're smart, nothing wrong with thinking you're smart. But that's the ego mind telling you that. That's the ego mind telling you. There is much more to your mind, to your consciousness, than the ego mind. There's much more to your consciousness than the thinking mind. And we get caught up in our thinking because we think it's so important. And we entertain every little thought that comes into our head. Why do you want to entertain all those little thoughts that come into your head? Most of them are absolute nonsense. You don't have to think them at all. You see? Do you remember one of the tenets of religious science. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. And always think a better, bigger thought of yourself. A better, bigger thought of humanity itself. A better, bigger thought of God, the universe. Think big thoughts. It's much more pleasant to think big thoughts than to constantly think small thoughts or constantly go right back to the same thought that you've been having for years. You don't want to do that. You want to stretch your consciousness, stretch your mind, and think new thoughts. If you're going to bring something new into your life, you have to think something new. If you're thinking the same old thought, nothing new is going to come into your life, because what you think about, you bring about. So if you want to bring something into your life, you have to start thinking differently. Otherwise, why do you think people keep repeating the same thing? Because they keep thinking the same thing. Get rid of that thinking. Learn to see that thinking. Learn to become a witness to that thinking. See, that's what you want to do. But the mind itself makes that little mind, makes the ego mind. And the ego mind is a conceptual prison. It comes all kinds of concepts going in there that you think are real and you take for real. And it's nothing but the ego mind doing that to you. So release that ego mind. You may never be able to get rid of it completely, but you can certainly start to control it. You can certainly say, look, I'm taking over my own mind here. I'm going to learn to think for myself. Otherwise, it's going to run your life for you. And it's usually going to run it right into the ground. And you know people with, well, we know people with big egos, enormous egos. We don't like to be around them. We all have an ego to some extent. You know, the ego is the only part of you that gets hurt. The ego is the only part that can get, if you feel something, if somebody says something to you and you feel hurt, that's the ego mind. You cannot hurt your spirit. You cannot hurt the spiritual mind at all. You know, you can't do that. If we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, we have to be able to move up to that mind and use that mind. If God got hurt every time somebody swore, what would happen? What would happen? You know. Now, as I say, I'm always trying to stop swearing. I'm still not there, by the way. One of these days I may conquer that. But here again, I know it's my little ego mind doing that, and I know that God is not one bit offended. You cannot offend God. You cannot offend God. And we think we can. So we yell and scream and do all that kind of stuff. God always is in sweet repose, reclined in sweet repose. Nothing upsets God. Nothing upsets God. It's an impossibility. Why is that an impossibility? God doesn't have an ego. God doesn't have an ego. Only we have egos. And we made those egos with our own mind. We started to listen to it. We started to listen to that voice inside of us. I'm not talking about that small voice that we always, that small still voice. I'm talking about that voice that's constantly yapping. You're not enough. You don't do enough. You don't have enough. This isn't right. That isn't right. Boy, this party's horrible. This is all. I don't like this movie. Just all the yammer of your ego mind going on all the time. You just have to let things be as they are. Just let them be out there. Tons of possibilities. Tons of possibilities. That's all. But you don't get upset over that. Look at all the people get upset on the way home from work when they get into traffic. You know. And they say, the traffic, the commute's killing me. But the traffic and the commute's not killing anybody. It's your mind that's killing you. It's the ego mind that's doing it. You know? Get off the freeway, for goodness sakes. Stop doing that to yourself. But the mind, that ego part of your mind, wants to control you. And it wants to control the reality that is out there. And we want to change this reality that's out there. We want to become morally superior to the reality that is in front of us. And that's an impossibility. You cannot do that. You can become morally superior if you want, but it isn't going to help. It's only going to make you feel worse. And if you do think that you're morally superior, that's the ego again. The ego said, well, that shouldn't be that way. It should be this way. It's not that way. You have to stay in the moment and love what's going on in the moment. What is in front of you at the present moment? It's there to teach you something, if nothing, to keep you from losing your temper. It'll go. It's only a moment, for goodness sakes. It's only a moment. And we think it's going to last forever. It's only a moment. It came into existence to go out of existence. Whew, that fast. But we hang on to it. Oh, we're in the traffic. What am I going to do? I'm in the traffic. Can't wait to get home and tell my wife how bad the traffic is. And you talk about it. How was your commute home? Oh, just dreadful. Waste of time, waste of energy, waste of your life. Total waste of your life. Complaining. There's another trick of the ego. It wants you to hear it. And the more it complains, the bigger your ego gets. The bigger your ego gets. You can't do anything about that. Give it up. Just give it up. Solve all the problems in the world if we didn't have this ego. I don't know why we have this ego. I can't explain that to you. I'm just trying to explain that we all have an ego and that we can control that ego and we don't have to live from that ego. We can live from another part of our consciousness. But you have to realize that you're more than your ego. So think of your ego as just a little thing down here, but then think of this consciousness as this great big thing that you can go to. You know, it's just a wee little thing, the ego. It just carries on and stumps its feet to make you think that it's big. To make you think that it's big. It's not big. What is one of the examples in metaphysical examples in the Bible is David and Goliath. Goliath was the big ego. Was the big thing. And everyone was afraid. But not David, right? And down went Goliath. Down went Goliath. Goliath is your ego. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The more you feed it, it needs food. And its food is the complaining. The food is not accepting the things as they are. And it eats that up, and the more it eats, the bigger it gets. So you have to take the food away from it. You know, don't feed it. Don't feed it. Get rid of it. Don't let it run your life. And that's what's happening in the world today. Now, another thing that's happening in the world today, and I'm absolutely excited about, is the whole idea that things are changing. Consciousness is finally reaching a point, and I've pointed this out to you before, that we are now learning to participate, we are participating in evolution itself. Because we have reached a point in consciousness where now we can participate with evolution. Before, evolution was carrying us ahead. Now we're learning to go, and we're learning to push evolution along. I wonder some of the things that I can see out there in the world that's happening. This thing called the 1%. These people that were occupying Wall Street and so forth. They have a different consciousness. They want to change something, and they're doing it with non-violence. And it's growing and growing and growing. Because what has happened? The ego mind always wants to stay the same. It does not want you to learn anything. It does not want you to grow. The conditioned world that we live in, the conditioning to make us all puppets and so forth, we think that government and these institutions that we have are the only thing that can run this world. There has to be a different way. Governments are no longer working. What's running governments? Special interests. And if the government isn't for all the people, it's not a government. And we got rid of governments before, different types of governments, because they weren't working. This whole system that we have, which looks very good, you know, we say we live in a democracy here, which we absolutely do, to an extent. But this is an experiment. You know, our country and democracy is an experiment. And it's going to have to change. And that's what, with the same way with the ego mind, it has to change. When the ego mind gets, when enough people put enough weight into the mind, the ego mind will get smaller and smaller, and we will conceive of a new way to run not only this country, but to run the world, because it's not working correctly. Most of it is invested in special interest groups to make nothing but money. Not a good way. So I'm excited about this 1%, and I'm excited that it's going to be nonviolent, and I'm excited for a change to come. As great as this country is, as great as any other country is, this thing called democracy, a grand idea, but there has to be more. And we have to let go of this old system. We don't let go of these old systems because they're entrenched, like your mind, the ego mind is so entrenched, we think, oh, we can't get rid of it. You see, we have buildings devoted to government. What are we going to do with those buildings? How many people have been to Washington, D.C.? Impressive. Absolutely impressive. Aren't the buildings impressive? They're all built to impress you that something good is going on inside of there. The Capitol building itself is absolutely gorgeous. And it's to impress you that something is going on. Nothing's going on in there. Special interest groups are running it. Your congressmen and senators and so forth are not running anything anymore. It's the special interest groups. So, that 1% is going to keep growing and growing. It's going to be nonviolent, and the nicest thing about it, which I think is, it's going to be leaderless. You see, we always think we need a leader. We can all be leaders and all be the same. We don't need leaders anymore. We certainly know how to do this stuff ourselves. You know, we don't need a president and all that. We don't. We don't need those things. Perhaps he'll just become a figurehead, which he is anyway. But that'll have to go. All that stuff will eventually go. So along with it will go this whole idea, this ego, too, because we're moving up in consciousness. We're moving up in consciousness. When you have a movement going on like that, you have to know that consciousness is rising, that you're rising up in consciousness. So, if you learn nothing else, learn about your ego and learn to control your ego. You know, you can read the Bible up one side and down the other. You can read Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind. You can read every article that's out there pertaining to spirituality. But unless you can control your ego, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere. Cute story. On Thursday, I was with my friend Gloria. She's a Catholic. We were talking about something, and I said to her, well, you know, there's no limbo anymore. She said, oh, yes, there is. I said, no, that was taken away a while ago. There's no limbo. She said, I'm going home and Google it. She went home and Googled and sent me the copy. You know, the Catholic Church got rid of the idea of limbo. Yeah, but then you know what else they said? It was never a church doctrine anyway. They just used it all those years. It was never a church doctrine anyway. They just left it go on into the 20th century. And then they decided, oh, we've got to get rid of it. For people who don't know what limbo is, it's where children go when they haven't been baptized. So they didn't have time to get baptized, so they couldn't go into heaven, because you can't go into heaven unless you're baptized, which is a bunch of crock. So they float around in this place called limbo. So, but now, I don't know where those people are. Now that they got rid of limbo, what happened to the people that were in limbo? Didn't bother to tell us that, did they? Yeah. Where are those people? So, here again, what I'm trying to point out is, here was a Catholic who didn't know that limbo no longer exists. But for years, there was a thing called limbo. Then they decide all of a sudden, well, we'll get rid of that. How about the biggest one? You don't have to eat meat or fish on Friday. To not eat fish on Friday used to be a mortal sin. A mortal sin! Then they decide, oh, well, that's not a mortal sin. You don't have to. You know? Things change, people. Don't take all that stuff and think it's real and think that, oh my, who made up those damn rules? They're stupid. They're just stupid rules. You know? Look at it and see. What's going on here? What's going on here? And then go into your own divinity and make up your own mind about these things. And don't let the ego get in your way why it's doing that. We learn so many things, and then all of a sudden they decide, oh, we don't have. How many people, when they went to school, learned that Pluto was a planet? Pluto's no longer a planet. They decide, oh, well, let's get rid of that planet. They're concepts, people. They're just concepts. And we take all that stuff, oh, they must know what they're talking about. Please. They don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about. So that's how I know they don't know. All right. The ego. Very hard to... You all know what I'm talking about, and you all know your little ego. Now you have to learn to control it. It's just a little kid, you know, that throws tantrums all the time. But if that voice inside of you, the loudest voice inside of you, is your ego talking to you. That voice you hear is not the voice of God or the voice of your divinity. It's the ego mind. The ego mind talking to you. Don't listen to it. All right, I have some cards. Every thought pretends that it matters so much. Every thought you think, oh, this really matters. Doesn't matter. Most of the stuff we think about doesn't matter. And 99% of the stuff we worry about never comes true. Stop worrying about that stuff. Give it up. When you start to worry, I don't use the word worry in my vocabulary. I always say I'm concerned about something. You see, if you're concerned about something, it doesn't do one bit of emotional damage to you. But when you use the word worry, you think, oh. So just change it to concern. Well, I'm concerned about that, but I'm not going to worry about it. Remember, it was Jesus said worry will not add a cubit to you. Will not add a cubit, which is a measure like an inch. I don't know exactly what a cubit is, but it's a measuring device. Not to listen to your ego mind frees you from the suffering you inflict on yourself. All suffering is inflicted by you. No one else is inflicting it. No one else is doing anything to you. You're doing it. Remember that saying, nothing is happening to me. I am the happening. Nothing is happening to you. You are the happening. Most people spend their entire life imprisoned within the confines of their own thoughts. You see, you have to get out of that thinking. It's all right to think. It's all right to have wonderful thoughts and all. We also use this example, you know, this thing we try to explain, God. God's always going to be beyond words and thoughts. Always going to be on words and thoughts. But we think thought is so important. Most people spend their entire life imprisoned within the confines of their own thoughts. Release those thoughts. Release them. And move up to awareness. Move up to awareness. You know? I think this about God. I think that about God. I think this about God. Think. You have to be aware. You have to feel. You have to know. You have to go someplace higher in consciousness than thought. And we're starting to do that as a collective consciousness. As a collective consciousness, we're starting to go up. Our mind and our life is no more than a bundle of thoughts. It's just a bundle of thoughts, and we think it's so important. It's not. All these thoughts are just bundled together, you know, sort of like that Time Warner package or something. Unbundle those things. Unbundle. Think of that. You're just a bundle of thoughts that are controlling you. You may go. The human mind, in its desire to know, understand, and control, mistakes its opinions and viewpoints for the truth. See, what is the truth? We say we teach the truth. What is the truth? Does everyone have their own truth, or is there just a truth? Is truth God? Is truth beauty and kindness and all that? But the human mind, in its desire to know, understand, and control, mistakes its opinions and viewpoints for the truth. Everybody has opinions. Everybody has opinions. They're like rear ends. Everyone has one. And everyone has viewpoints. Give up your opinions. And with viewpoints, have many points to view. not a viewpoint, have many points to view. We live in a field of total possibilities. Yet, we focus in on our viewpoint. We focus in on one thing and one thing only. And we think that's it. We think that's it. Have many points of view. It's wonderful when you don't have a viewpoint. You're not stuck. You're not stuck. If you have a viewpoint, you're stuck. And the human mind, the ego mind, loves to have a viewpoint. Well, I'll tell you exactly what I think about that. Here's my point of view. Here's what I think. Please, don't do it. The thinking mind is a useful and powerful tool, but it is also very limiting when it takes over your life completely. When you don't realize that it is only a small aspect of the consciousness that you are. The mind is only a small aspect of the consciousness that you are. Our mind is finite. It's finite. We try to comprehend what infinite is. We cannot comprehend that. But what we try to do is bring this thing called God, this infinite, down to the finite. Well, the infinite can't come into the finite, but the finite can go up to the infinite. You can raise your consciousness up, but you can't pull that consciousness down. Think of it. Move up to this thing that we're talking about all the time. If you don't want to call it God, if you don't want to call it the universe, know that you're connected to something. You know, the idea when we use God, we always think, well, now it has to be a church, and there has to be candles and incense, and there has to be dogmas, and there has to be the Bible, and la 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 la, because that's what God, you know. No, God's much more than those things, you know. How many people think that God just dwells in churches? You know, this is the house of God. Please, people, God's everywhere. It's humans. It's humans who made these large, beautiful buildings. And they are. They're gorgeous. I love to go in churches. I think that's a wonderful architecture. I love all that symbolism. I love all that stuff. But I don't confuse it with what God is. I don't confuse it with what God is. It's a wonderful story about a man went down into a crevice like in the ground, and he discovered something down there. He thought, this is absolutely wonderful. I have to tell everybody about this. So he told people, oh, you have to go down there. You have to see this. It's absolutely gorgeous. And people said, oh, well, let's build a wall around it to protect it. Then somebody else says, well, let's put a top on it. Then somebody else said, let's put a building top of it. Now no one can go down and find the miracle. And that's exactly what we do with God. We close it off. We stuff it into something. How many people have been to St. Peter's? Remember?
St. Peter's.
Yeah, in Rome. Yeah, well, look at the Paul is supposedly under the altar there in the tomb and all that. They put the tomb, then they put the altar, then they did this, then they did that. Bellini made all those beautiful things, and then they built that great big church around them all. We do that. But I love it. It's gorgeous. But we close ourselves off when we do things like that. We close ourselves off from this thing, from this life force. And that's the ego. Oh, let's make it something that it's not. You know, let's make it something that it's not. God is God, life is life. Enjoy it. We don't have to turn it into all this kind of hoorah that they do. Spiritual awakening is awakening from the dream of thought. You can't think yourself into spirituality. You can read all the books and do all the thinking. But spiritual awakening is awakening from the dream of thought. You have to know that we're dreaming. This world that we're living in is a dream. We invented this dream. But it's a dream. We have to wake up from it. That's why so many people say that we're sleeping. You know, most of the world is unconscious. Most of the world is asleep. It's dreaming a dream. You don't want to dream a dream. You want to live life. You want to live life. This life that we have, this life of God, life of the universe that is in us and through us, is a wonderful state to be in. But we think it's something else. We think it's something else. It has to be simple. Wasn't it Einstein who said he was always working throughout his life for a unifying equation, an equation that would unify everything? All the forces, gravity and the strong force, the weak force, and what's the other one? Electrical, I think. Four of them. And he said, when we find it, it'll be very simple. When we find it, it'll be very simple. This thing called God is very simple. It's just life looking to express itself. And it's trying to express itself through you. But we allow the ego mind to get in the way. And the ego mind says, oh, who the hell do you think you are? You can't be divine. There's only God. See, right there is the thing. If there's only God, then you must be part of that. But the ego mind says, oh, no, you can't be that. Oh, no, you can't be that. You see? You can't listen to that ego mind. You have to get up every day and say to yourself, I'm God in action. I'm God in action. I'm going to go out and do godly things today. That would be a godly thing to do. Think kindly about yourself and everybody else. Try that one. Try all day long to think kindly about yourself. It's all it takes. All it takes. You don't have to do all that other, you know. If you want to bow all day long, please feel free to do it. Wear out your knees. The mind is incessantly looking not only for food, for thought. It is looking for food for its identity. Its sense of self. This is how the ego comes into existence and continuously recreates itself. It's looking for food. Anytime you think, I And this, that, the other thing, that's the ego. Anytime you think it's you and a story, you know, we're only ever telling stories. The story is the ego. The story that you're telling is the ego. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing, I'm poor, I'm weak, I'm sick, I can do that, da, 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 da. That's just a story that you're telling. That's not who you are. That's the ego. Who are you? Who are you? You're a God sinner. You're a God sinner. And we have to start using that God center. Not in that religious type way, you know, where we're out feeding the poor or whatever. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeding the poor and so forth. There's nothing wrong. The thing that you have to do is feed yourself and learn to love yourself. And learn to know what? That you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter. I really, really matter. Yes. The ego mind will never tell you that you matter. It will tell you that you're nothing. You have to know that you matter. And you have to know that you not only matter to this thing that we call God, you have to matter to yourself. You have to say, I am a wonderful human being. And I can use my mind correctly. And I can use my mind correctly. There's nothing wrong with your mind. Your ego mind wants to tell you that. There's nothing wrong with it. Every day, tell yourself what a wonderful person you are. And lo and behold, you become a wonderful person. You know, that's one nice thing about repetition. You finally start to believe it. But we are not taught that. We're taught repetition in a completely different way. This is wrong and that's wrong. How many times do you repeat those things? Well, if I just looked differently, if I just felt better, if I just had this, if I just did that, you're doing that as repetition. And that's putting a groove in your thinking. And you're digging a big rut. And you have to get out of that rut. You have to release yourself from that rut. So release yourself. This whole season called Easter is about the empty tomb. It's about resurrection. It's about releasing yourself from the past, releasing yourself from old habits, releasing yourself from old beliefs, from old thoughts. And rising up into a new life. Rising up into a new life. And you can do that. And if you have to do that every day, do that every day. You don't have to wait for Easter. So you don't have to do that. You are always made new by the renewal of your mind. By the renewal of your mind. By thinking differently about yourself and giving up all those things that are going on in there that you may have heard since childhood or somebody else, and you took them in and thought they were real. They're a bunch of baloney. Absolutely a bunch of baloney. So you start right here and right now and say, I am a God center. And that God center is operating correctly through me. And it is drawing to me everything that I want. And it is drawing only thoughts that heal me, bless me, and prosper me. And then draw those thoughts to yourself. And let the rest of that stuff go. It makes no sense, and it will never help you. It will never help you. When each thought absorbs your attention completely, it means you identify with the voice in your head. When each thought absorbs your attention completely, it means you identify with the voice in your head. Do you understand what that means? Can you see? When you constantly, that person said this to me, you hear all that going on in there. Just ego, it's just chatter, it means nothing. Let it go. Let it go. This is a wonderful, wonderful life. And you're living a wonderful life. Accept that for yourself. Accept that for yourself. Do not allow the ego mind to tell you that you're not enough, you don't have enough, and you don't do enough. You are doing everything right here and right now as a God center. And you let that go. And you renew yourself daily. Remind yourself who you are. I am God in action. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.